So we're going to do things a little bit differently today, and we're going to end the service actually with a time of prayer. And as I was praying and thinking through, what would it look like? What does it mean for us to start the year, a calendar year, as a church? And the things that just kept, how do we begin? And I really just try to keep things simple by quite literally calling the series Begin. And what if we began with forgiveness? What if we began a year of new things and new thinking and thinking about what's coming ahead? And what if we started with forgiveness? If I were to wrap up what this two-week little series on forgiveness would be in one scripture, it would be Ephesians 4:32b, technically, forgiving one another as Christ, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Forgiving one another as Christ, as God in Christ has forgiven you. You see, forgiveness is something that as a in the Christian faith and as a follower of Jesus, and when you can't really get much into a relationship with Jesus without forgiveness. You can have a relationship, but really, in order for you to accept everything that God wants to do in your life, you have to first accept forgiveness. Because in turn, what makes us different as followers of Jesus is the way in which we forgive others. That's the radical nature of what it means for us to be followers of Jesus. And of course, there's all kinds of scriptures out there that talk about forgiveness, and I could pull together a cornucopia of scriptures that, you know, from this book and this book and this book, but I would prefer not to do that. And so there's this really interesting section of scripture called 1 John. 1 John, and we're going to be in 1 John 1:1 through 2:17, so which is pretty much half of the book of 1 John. And honestly, the book of 1 John is actually anonymous. I mean, we have a title to it, but no, the writer doesn't reveal himself in the writing. So it's ascribed to John, and in the later books, 2 John and 3 John, the writer is called the elder, just the elder. Now, we think that John, the son of Zebedee, the one who wrote the gospel account, according to John, of Jesus, it's a very similar writing pattern, very similar the way in which the gospel of John is written. And so either it could be John, son of Zebedee, or it could be John the Elder. We're not entirely sure, but 1 John. And here's what we do know. We do know that 1 John was primarily writing to Jews that had kind of started a house church network around the city of Ephesus. And so John is writing this letter, and really 2 John and 3 John are more short form letters, but really 1 John is a poetic sermon. 1 John is this poetic sermon to that would be passed around these house churches. And John had heard about the pressures that they were dealing with and some conflict that was going on within kind of the network of Christians, and so he wrote this poetic sermon to them to address it. And so I'm going to read, and we're going to stop and kind of reflect. But first, John approaches explaining how Jesus forgives us of our sin in a really interesting way. You're gonna pick up very like simple usage and comparison between light and dark, and light and dark, and light and dark. And so I'm going to read 1 John, starting in 1:1, if you want to follow along. So we declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes and what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father that was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we also declare to you so that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That was one sentence, by the way. And so who, and then finish out that paragraph, we are writing these things so that your joy may be complete. Some translations say our joy may be complete. Others, some older translations say your joy may be complete. So who's the we here? So John is talking about the apostles. So this points to it being John the apostle. Like, we are the one, and when it says the word of life, he's talking about Jesus. That we have witnessed, we have put our hands on, we have heard, we have seen, we have understood the word of life. And this life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it. And we declare to you the eternal life, which was Jesus, because Jesus is eternal, that was with the Father and then was revealed to us. So John here is setting up and saying, like, we're declaring this to you. Here's our qualifications. You can listen to us. You can trust us. Because what we're not going to get to in the letter today is they were dealing with false teachers in this network of house churches. And so they're wanting to declare all of this, and really you can see in this sermon from 1 John that he hits all the main theological points that the Gospel of John touches on in the entire Gospel. So he's really just kind of reiterating what they should already know. I mean, these churches have been, you know, planted either by, you know, Paul was in Ephesus, and then they spread out and came around Ephesus. And so they've heard the good news. They just need a bit of a reminder. So he continues, this is the message we have heard from him, Jesus, and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not know what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make Jesus a liar, and his word is not in us. Let me read that last part again. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him, Jesus, a liar, and his word is not in us. Now let me just read one sentence again. If we confess our sin, he who is faithful and just will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, if John is writing to Jews, I mean, they would have had to go through this entire rethinking process about giving sacrifice in order for their sins to be forgiven. And if we wanted to come down to it, yeah, of course, there is sacrifice in the life of the follower of Jesus. There is sacrifice that has to happen. And in fact, in Psalm 50, the psalm ends with, like, really the sacrifice that I want from you, O Israel, is a sacrifice of thankfulness, a sacrifice of gratitude. But it was a completely different idea that if we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive our sins. So if we confess our sins, that Jesus, the one who is faithful to us and just, He wants to make sure that, and justice is the right ordering of relationship. He wants to put things right in relationship with each other and with us and Him and in the world. That's what justice really means. And He is just, and He will forgive our sins. And what are sin? I mean, the Hebrew and the Greek, the literal translation is like a missing of the mark. A missing of the mark. So just not quite right. That doesn't even mean that you've missed the target entirely, but you've missed the mark that we're supposed to aim for. And so sometimes that can be maybe a mistake. John Wesley, one of our kind of theological forebears in our tradition, he split out sins into sin and then infirmities, and sins were like a lawful or a transgression against a known law of God. So it was a willing thing. Like, we willfully went against God. We knew it was against God, and we did it anyway. And then he called something infirmities, is that like, we didn't know it was against God, but we're broken people. There's sin in the world. We get manipulated. We get shaped in different ways that God didn't intend. And so we just have infirmities in us that God extends grace to and says, hey, once you recognize those infirmities, the problem is that then they can become sin. Once you know that something is an infirmity, it doesn't stay an infirmity. It now becomes a sin because you realize, oh, this is against God. But we're not even talking about infirmities that, oh, like, I'll forgive. That almost seems like, to a degree, a given. Like, God understands that if you don't know, this is why there's an urgency of the sharing of the gospel. And really, the beginning of the gospel is He will forgive you. He will forgive you even about the things that you know are against Him, and you do them anyway. Even when you know that you are not in the right, even when you know that you are not being faithful or just, it says, confess your sins, and He will forgive you. And it's not just a, I'll forgive you, but I'll remember it. In Hebrews, it talks about that God forgets your sin that He has forgiven. That God puts them so far away from you as the east is from the west, so that we might know how great His love is. That's how far away He will take our sin. Now, does God, who we believe is all-knowing, actually forget our sins? He might as well have. Because He doesn't hold them against us if He's forgiven them. And so John is writing to these Christians who are in these house churches around the city of Ephesus. And it says, if we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. And cleanse us and clean us from what? Improper and poor relationship. Unrighteousness is having a right relationship. Jesus being our righteousness with God is the bridge. He is the one that completes the good relationship between humanity and God. That's why He came. And so not only will He forgive our sins, not only will He forgive and put away as far as, so that even God could care less if He remembered them or not. And even the things that we willfully do against Him, He says, I will cleanse you even of your unrighteousness, of your broken relationship, of your marred relationships that you have between Me and between you. And we can become one together. Later in chapter 2, he says this. He says this. Chapter 2, verse 1. John, always kind of the endearing one, says, "My little children." He calls this group of people, "My little children. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. That you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours only, but for also for the sins of the world." John is trying to get across this truth and be like, Jesus is light, walking in the light. Don't sin. Why would you want to stay in darkness? But if you do, even if you do, we have an advocate. We have somebody who is quite literally interceding for us, that is right next to the Father, saying, we're going to forgive. Because that's what it means for Christ to be our righteousness. He is quite literally the bridge between us and the Father. He is the righteousness, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. And not he has been the atoning sacrifice, he is. And the "is" in the Greek there is an ongoing action. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but the action that Jesus did on the cross was this. He was the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. So it's not as if we were just... It's just, as soon as you get into the family of God, that's when he's the atoning sacrifice. That's the only time that he's the atoning sacrifice. The atoning sacrifice for the sins of the entire world were accomplished, are continually accomplished, because of the work and power of the cross and the resurrection. And it's available and accessible, and quite literally, it's one of those things that is just like, if you say it is, like everyone's sins are forgiven, it's like, whoa, what does that mean? Does that mean just like everyone's going to heaven? Does that mean like everyone's sins are forgiven? Everyone's sins are forgiven. We have to accept it. We have to accept it. The work has been and is being done, period, for everyone. The entire sins of the world. Jesus has been the atoning sacrifice. The walk of the follower of Jesus is accepting that forgiveness and walking in this light. There are plenty of people who are walking in the darkness not knowing that forgiveness is being extended to them, that light is being extended to them. And this is why I think that. He continues, "Now by this we know," and it gets quite poetic here. "Now by this we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commandments. Whoever says, 'I have come to know him,' but does not obey his commandments is a liar, and in such a person the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys his word, truly in this person the love of God has reached perfection." Did you hear that? "But whoever obeys his word, truly in this person, the love of God has reached perfection. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says, 'I abide in him,' ought to walk in the same way as he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new commandment that is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." Did you you hear that? Yet I am writing you a new commandment that is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The darkness is passing away. It's not it will pass away. It's not it's going to pass away. It is passing away. Jesus, being the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world, started the passing away process of darkness in its entirety. Light has arrived. Light has won, and the darkness is passing away. Because the true light is already shining, and where there is true light, there can be no darkness. Darkness is not overcoming it. And then he continues in more poetic. Whoever says, I am in the light, while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister abides in the light, and in such a person there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates a brother or sister is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness. And then he gets into even more of a poetic prose. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven on the account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young people, because you have conquered the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young people, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So stop dealing with the darkness. That's the Pastor Jared asterisk. That's the plea. That's the decree. Darkness is passing away. True light have arrived. And you know it. Your sins are forgiven on the account of his, Jesus' name. And you know him from who he is from the beginning, and you have conquered the evil one, and you know the Father, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So stop messing with the darkness. It is passing away. It is a ship that is sinking. Then he rounds out this section with this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world, for all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the pride and the riches, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desire are passing away, but those who do the will of God abide forever. You see, all of this is true. This is something that we can grasp onto. But if we do not understand the forgiving nature of Jesus, then we'll never fully grasp it. Jesus came so that we might be saved, that we might have a relationship with him and with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. That as we begin a new year, as we begin, and maybe in your life you need a new beginning with your relationship with God, and really where it starts with is that you have to accept that you're forgiven. The atoning sacrifice for your sins really has already been accomplished. It's this acceptance of the forgiveness. It's confessing your sin, knowing that you'll be forgiven. And here's the hard part about that. Confessing sins is painful. Actually confessing sins is painful. In our church tradition, we don't do it all that well. We like to keep things private. We like to keep things in our head. But confessing sins is a bit painful for us. It's recognizing the darkness and the brokenness that is in us. It's recognizing our misstep. It's setting aside our pride. It's accepting that we've been wrong. And the hardest part is getting through that confession and knowing and accepting, I've been forgiven. Quite frankly, if we don't confess them, then it's hard for us to say that they're real. We get a lot more, when we are the most creative, it's when we're justifying our sin. We are incredibly creative human beings, especially when it comes to justifying our sin and getting out of confessing them. Is it really that bad? Is that really a sin? I guess I didn't know. So we're going to do something a little bit different today. The guy, John Wesley, that I talked about, every year he would host what's called a covenant renewal service. And it would happen right around the first of the year. Sometimes it would be every year on New Year's Day. And really it was this entire service that went through and that there was this entire section of confession. This entire section of confession that we need to confess the ways that this last year we have not fulfilled the covenant with God. That we have not followed, that we have not had the relationship with Him or with others. And then the last half of it is making a renewing the covenant of being a follower of Jesus. We're not going to get to that because we're just going to land on the confession part. And then there's this little point of this little phrase of absolution, of assurance and of pardon. So I'm gonna have the band come back up, and I'm gonna read this while they're coming up. I just want you to listen. There is a leader and there's a response, and you all would either know it by heart already if you're in one of his, you know, churches, or there would be something printed out. But I just want you to listen. And maybe, just maybe, I say a confession that you're like, yes. 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 And so as I'm reading this, it's a list of confessions. And if you hear a confession that just pains your heart, I just want, even to yourself, just say, yes. Yes, I confess. And at the end, there's going to be a time, and at the end it says, and now hear our private confession. Because what if we just started the year by confessing our sins to the Lord and knowing that we're forgiven? That we don't have to bring this baggage and the hurts and the pains and the pressure of pride and the brokenness in our lives that we know, and we know that we can come to a Father that says, just confess and I'll forgive you. Just confess and I'll forgive you. What if we started out by just doing that? By confessing. By seeking forgiveness. Because it is quite literally extended to us. So I'm going to read this portion of this covenant service. And once again, if you hear a confession that you need to confess yourself, just say, yes, I confess myself to yourself. And then I'll open it up, and if you want to sit in your seat, and the band's going to play Living Hope again, and if you want to come up to the altar and pray and kneel before the Lord, if you need that kind of posture, then that is great. If you are wanting to recommit your life to Jesus today, I'd love to talk with you about that. You can do that on your own, but I'd love to talk with you about that. Or maybe you want to, you know, commit your life to the Lord for the first time, then I would love to talk with you about that. You can come forward and pray, and we can just come see me afterwards. But hear this. We are those who seek to live as true disciples of Jesus Christ, but sometimes we fall short. Let us now examine ourselves before God, humbly confessing our sins and submitting our hearts so that we do not deceive ourselves and cut ourselves away from God. And so let us pray. Father God, you have set forth the way of life through your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you love dearly. We shamefully confess that we have been slow to learn of him and have been reluctant to follow him. You have spoken and called to us, but we have not listened. You have revealed your beauty to us, but we have been blind. You have stretched out your hands to us through our friends, but we have passed them by. We have accepted your gifts and offered little thanks. We are unworthy of your unchanging love. We now confess to you our sins. Please forgive us for the poverty of our worship, for the selfishness of our prayers, for our inconsistency and unbelief, for the ways we neglect fellowship and your grace, for our hesitation to tell others about Christ, for the ways we deceive others. Forgive us for when we waste time and when we misuse the gifts that you have given us. Forgive us for when we have made excuses for the wrong things that we have done and when we have purposefully avoided responsibility. Forgive us that we have been unwilling to overcome evil with good and that we have not been ready to carry our cross. Forgive us that we have not allowed your love to work through us to help others, and that we have not made their suffering our own. Forgive us for those times when instead of working for unity, we made it hard for others to live with us because of our lack of forgiveness, inconsiderate judgment, and quick criticism. Forgive us for when we have not tried to reconcile with others and we have been slow to seek redemption. And Lord, forgive us also these sins that we silently confess to you now. Amen.